Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. It's getting interesting now. The Chiefs are hot. They've won three in a row, and now they go on the road again to take on the San Diego Chargers. Last week's performance against the Denver Broncos was a memorable one. It was one of the greatest performances defensively in team history. This is a franchise that values individual defensive players, some of the best to ever play in this league. But the team effort last week was remarkable. It was precisely the kind of performance the Chiefs needed to keep the momentum rolling into these very significant November games. Now it's like reading a comic book. The Chiefs have taken care of one villain, now they get ready for another. San Diego quarterback Philip Rivers awaits in his home stadium. We've got a great show to get you ready for the Charger game. We talk with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton, who has seen a transformation of this Chiefs defense. Over the past 5 weeks, Kansas City's allowed only an average of 14 points per game, and the most any opponent has scored in that time frame is just 18 points. We'll talk with Bob Sutton about how it's happened, how can the Chiefs keep it going, and his unique management and leadership style. Plus, the Chiefs have not won in San Diego back-to-back in 22 years. We'll take a look for your enjoyment back at the 1993 season when the Chiefs did it last with some excerpts from our award-winning Chiefs Kingdom show. And remember that 93 season, the Chiefs were just minutes from making it to the Super Bowl. And what about Tom Bahali? The 10-year Chiefs veteran has renewed his youth. He's been outstanding in that 5-game span for this defense. Not only is he giving pressure along with Justin Houston, he's provided leadership for this team. And no human right now burns to win more than Tom Bahali in the Chiefs Kingdom. He sits down with our Chiefs reporter B.J. Kissel as we go under the helmet with the Liberian native and one of the most popular Chiefs of all time.
This offseason, when we had a chance to talk, you talked about staying here and creating a legacy. You made a commitment to staying here. Why was it important for you to stay here and to be a part of this team this year?
Well, I feel like Coach Reed and the staff, they put together a real good team, and they believe in what they're doing from a coaching standpoint. And I think the players that's in place right now, we're set to do special things. And for me, you know, I'm only aging, and to be a part of anything special, that means a lot to me.
The game last week against the Denver Broncos, obviously it's just one game on the schedule, but the fact that they had won the division several years in a row is going up against Peyton Manning, a team that you're notoriously kind of struggled against. Just how important was that win?
Huge. You know, first, it keeps our season alive. Second, we haven't beaten them in 3 years. Having Peyton in the center, it's hard to beat him because he's like a human robot or whatever you want to call it. He just knows what to do when he's under center. And we just came in with the mindset that we had to get this one. And whatever it took, you know, we had to play our best football of the year. And we did. And that was special.
Touchdowns. Alex Smith with a run. DeAnthony Thomas with a run. Now a counterplay. West. Up to midfield.
Talk about communication. I ask about a different form of communication, because most of the time when defensive guys, when you guys run off the field, that's your time to rest, sit on the bench, get some water, some Gatorade. When we see you on the sidelines, you're up screaming at the offense, you're running around, making sure guys know that you appreciate, you know, what they're doing out on the field. Why is that important to you?
Yeah, our offense is young. I know for me, a lot of time positive feedback works, and those guys rotate way more than we do. So guys go in and a play later, they're out, and then they're in and they're out. And to be on the sideline watching the game and, you know, just telling them to keep their head in the game and what our plans are, and, you know, just telling them just keep working at it, keep working at it. To them, I think if they feed off of that and the energy that I feel like I bring and the other guys that's out there, they bring, I think they feed off of it and they realize how special it is to be playing in this league and for our team, you know, because sometimes me being out there and hoorah and just trying to get their energy up and tell them, man, do what you're great at doing. Do it at your best.
First and 10, Rivers from his own 20 to throw. He's hit for Bard. They're going to roll it a fumble. It's loose as the Chiefs came screaming around the backside. Tamba Hali.
To get a W this weekend, you're going up against a familiar opponent, divisional opponent, the San Diego Chargers, and a quarterback in Phillip Rivers that you've gone up against quite a bit. Just what is difficult about facing him, and how much are you guys looking forward to that challenge?
Well, he loves to throw the ball, and he makes a lot of play. He's a competitor. He's going to talk trash. And that's what's hard playing Phillip in the Chargers. You know, he's going to make plays, and he's going to be consistent in doing that. And for us, we can't worry about what Phillip's going to do or what they're going to do. You know, Bob, he puts together a game plan that we believe in. We got to go out there and execute our game plan and do it fast, and I think that'll help us.
Immediately after the Bronco victory, Chiefs Pro Bowl linebacker Derrick Johnson was asked about the dominating Chiefs defensive performance. He gave all the credit to the coaches, saying that they were prepared the right way. Chiefs defensive coordinator Bob Sutton knows all about preparation and education. He spent almost two decades at West Point as a coach, training future United States Army lieutenants. Now, Sutton has got his defense on a roll. Kansas City has forced 10 turnovers in the last three games. They've given the ball up zero. And Kansas City right now is number two in the National Football League in the giveaway takeaway, tied with undefeated Carolina at +8. This defense is thinking takeaways, and they're thinking winning streak. I sat down with Bob Sutton to talk about how he's getting the most out of these players, whether it's a rookie like Marcus Peters or veterans like Tamba Hali, Justin Houston, or Derrick Johnson. Back to throw is Manning. Throws it down the middle of the field. It's going to be intercepted. Intercepted by Marcus Peters. It's intercepted. Sean Smith. Big handoff. Now a bootleg. Osweiler's going to go down. Justin Houston makes a Pro Bowl play.
Bob, it's been such a dramatic turnaround. It's almost like the first 9 weeks of school and your parents are saying, Bob, we got to work on some things. And then the next 9 weeks, they're saying you might be valedictorian. Why the great turnaround in your defense?
Well, I think a lot of the credit really has to go to the players. The one thing they've really done is they've not only, I wouldn't say maintain, they've upped the ante in how they prepare, you know, from meetings to the way they practiced. And, you know, as we've talked about before, that's sounds good and is good, but if you don't get that tangible result right away, a lot of times that just fades away. And to their credit, they just kept putting in, and you know, of course, I think it's really rewarding as a coach to see that happen for them now like it is.
Y'all know how it goes, man. We dominate, team dominate. No more failure, no more failure.
So how much of this is scheme? How much is physical? How much is mental?
Well, I think a lot of it is the things that surround scheme. You know, when we talk about the culture, you know, the way you do your work, the way things have to be, you know, and like I've always told them, you know, the scheme is important, and there's a lot of really great scheme, but two things make scheme. One, really good players, and that'll win for a while. And if you want to sustain, you have to have a culture. And that's the part that I'm, you know, most pleased with is they've grabbed onto that and do it.
Defending the run. You've only given up 520-plus runs in 9 games. What about your run defense?
Going back to OTAs, he said two areas we had to improve on or wanted to improve on was taking the ball away and then the run defense. Now, we wanted to do that without giving in on any of the other areas, you know. And I think, you know, over the course, we've improved, you know, the run defense. And that, again, that's just not the front seven. That's the back group coming together, you know, cleaning things up, supporting if you get crack block, all those things. And the other part of it is tackling. You know, you got to tackle well if you want to keep those big runs down. You know, we got to just keep getting better and better at that phase.
Okay, you finally slay a division foe quarterback giant in Peyton Manning, maybe the best that's ever played. But here comes Phillip Rivers. Now you're going to go play him at his place. What about playing Rivers this week?
Well, you know, I think, you know, Phillip's probably playing, you know, as well as he's ever played. And I think the thing you really appreciate about him right now is he's doing it with a lot of different people. You know, they've had linemen hurt. They've had receivers hurt. He doesn't even blink an eye.
I want to ask you about one thing specifically, and before I get to Gates, but that is throwing to the running backs. The numbers are there. Phillip has thrown to the running backs more than any guy in the league, but that play where he gets rid of the ball fast, particularly to a running back.
Well, I think it was one of the things that, you know, when Mike McCoy came in, and I think he did a really good job. You know, they got Woodhead, and Danny is a really, one of the premier route runners from a running back position in our whole league.
Final question. You respect the game. You respect the greats of the game, the human spirit. Gates, tight end.
Well, he's just an amazing story. And then to sustain like he has over the time that he's been there is just incredible. Those two guys there are unique, you know, challenges, Woodhead and Gates, and they present different problems for you. But I think the number one thing is that they're both very good at what they do. They both understand their position. And probably most important of all, quarterback trusts them.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs headed into San Diego looking for their second AFC West win in a row, their fourth win overall in a row. And the Chargers are really a team that's kind of trending in the opposite direction. They've lost five games in a row headed into this game.
Pete, but the thing with those five games is they're actually by a combined 25 points. So they're right there in these games. The last two games have actually been by 3 points each. So they've had some tough luck with those recent losses. But they've also had a lot of tough luck, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, with injuries. Joe Barksdale, their right tackle, is the only guy on that offensive line to start all nine games. They're hoping that their prize free agent and left guard, Orlando Franklin, can be back. He's missed five games this season. They were hoping going into the season he could pair with King Dunlap there at left tackle. They kind of hold down the left side of that offensive line. Injuries have not allowed them to do that. It's been one of the reasons that they've struggled a little bit offensively, but that's something to pay attention to going into this game. Is Orlando Franklin going to be healthy?
Right, and it's not only injuries on the line. You think about the Chargers, you think about Phillip Rivers. The reason for the struggles of the offense a little bit have been the injuries to the skill positions on the outside.
Yeah, that's been another area that's really kind of hurt them a lot this year. And Keenan Allen went down with a kidney injury. He's out for the year. And Malcolm Floyd went down with a shoulder injury. He's battled injuries all throughout his career. It was tough to see because he was having a pretty good year. But you look at even Antonio Gates, Mr. Consistency for them, has only played in four games this year. He's 35 years old. But you look at the offense, Phillip Rivers, he's attempted 390 passes. That's the name of the game. Danny Woodhead out of the backfield is a big weapon for him. He has 750 total yards, most of those coming with catches out of the backfield. And then you look at Stevie Johnson, Dontrell Inman. Those are the guys on the outside he's going to be throwing the ball to.
All right, so we know about the Chargers offense, obviously very injury-ridden at this point, but you turn the page to the defense now. They've struggled as well, allowing 27 points per game.
It's hard to win games when you're giving up 27 a game, but there's one particular area I'm interested in watching this game because it kind of fits to the Chiefs' strength, and an area that the Chargers have really struggled defensively is allowing yards after the catch. You know, the Chargers have allowed the second to most yards after the catch of any defense in the NFL this season. We know the Chiefs' offense likes to pick up yards after the catch. That's the way that Andy Reid has this thing built. Guys like Travis Kelce, Jeremy Maclin, two of the better guys in the NFL once they get the balls in their hand and making plays. So that's definitely an area I want to watch, and it kind of fits into the Chiefs' strength in an area that the Chargers really struggled this year.
All right, well, it's another AFC West battle. The Chiefs visiting San Diego to play the Chargers, looking to come all the way back to 500. He's BJ Kissel. I'm Pete Sweeney, and now you know what to focus on.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. The Chiefs are making history. Last week, they held Peyton Manning to his worst game ever in his brilliant 18-year National Football League career. This week, they can do it again. Kansas City has not won in San Diego back-to-back for 22 years. Last year, it was a 48-yard Cairo Santos field goal for the win. Now, can they do it again? Well, let's go back to the last time they did it, the 1993 season. Joe Montana came to town. As we look back at a season Chiefs fans will never forget.
All right, everybody up, let's go!
I remember watching the opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down in Tampa. There'd been some flashes in preseason, but still nobody was sure how that was going to go.
We welcome you to Tampa Stadium, where today the temperature on the field will reach over 100 degrees, and the humidity is very, very high.
You know, and Joe, you could tell, you know, he hadn't played in a couple of years. You know, you can be in all kinds of great shape, but football shape's a little bit different.
King right flex, yeah. 200 jets. He's saying, hey, if you don't have the slant, you got the tight end over the ball.
Yeah, he knows that.
Yeah, in a corner by the other, you
You got it.
We had great training camp practices, and it was like, okay, here we go. How are we going to mesh? How are we going to start out? And right away, we just came out the gate flying.
Back to pass, Joe Montana sets up, winds up, hesitates, now throws a pass into the end zone. A diving catch, touchdown! Willie Davis between two Buccaneer defenders.
Joe went out and threw three touchdown passes the first half. It was extraordinary.
I don't think he had an incomplete pass until like halfway through the second quarter.
The pocket crumbling, Montana winds up, arches a spiral down the near side. Over the shoulder catch of the 10 by J.J. They'll chase him into the end zone, touchdown. J.J. Burden has just caught a 52-yard touchdown pass by Joe Montana. What a play!
Sweet release.
The Chiefs wound up winning 27-3. Montana had only a handful of incomplete passes all day, and he looked great. He made good touch throws. He threw deep a couple of times, and you could see it was still there. And you could also see that the offense's personality was changed because of that capability.
They built up a high degree of confidence in all of us. I remember everybody was scoring that game.
We said, you know, we really got something going here.
Let's light the fuse and kick some ass out.
The Chiefs had two great offensive minds. They had Al Saunders, who I think at that time was like the receiver coach, and Paul Hackett was on board. Well, with those two great passing minds working with, you know, as good a quarterback as pro football has ever seen, you just knew that it was going to have a different feel to it. And so Marty, who thought they had to begin to pass the ball to advance and get where they wanted to get, they were passing the ball.
Back to pass, Montana passes on, throws a pass, it's caught.
Obviously, the playbook opened up. You know, they were throwing it on first down. They were throwing it more. We were throwing post routes and goes and all that.
It was fun. It really was. It was fun learning the offense, playing with Joe.
The nature of that offense, I think, was one that built confidence because it was an offense that kept the chains moving.
You know, it was a 3- and 5-step drop, so we were getting the ball off quick.
It's short, it's rhythm, it's moving the chains with the pass, it's mixing in the run.
We would take our 4- or 5-yard plays and keep going and get down the field and possess the ball.
Just chip, 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 chip away, and there's never been anyone better than Montana to orchestrate that.
When it was clicking, nobody could stop us.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this week's show. After having 7 of the first 10 weeks of the year away from Arrowhead Stadium, after a trip to San Diego, the Chiefs come home for 4 of the next 6 games. How about the AFC? 11 of the 16 teams in the American Football Conference think they can make the playoffs, including the Kansas City Chiefs. One of those teams comes to Arrowhead next week, an old nemesis, the Buffalo Bills. It's like a 6-week play-in tournament for the playoffs, and we'll get you ready for the Bills and Chiefs right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Trap.